Good evening, church family, and please turn in your Bible now back to the book of Romans and chapter 5 as we continue to roam through the book of Romans. And I've entitled our message this evening, which we extract from the first 5 verses of chapter 5, Blessed Beyond Measure. Blessed Beyond Measure. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Blessed beyond measure. The moment we turn to the Lord in repentance and place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God forgives our sin and credits His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, to our account. We have these blessings. They all begin with A. Acceptance, access, assurance, achievement, and anointing. Let's get into it. Verse 1, therefore, in other words, arising out of God's wonderful plan of salvation, which the Apostle Paul has now expounded and illustrated from chapter 3 and verse 21 through chapter 4, which we looked at last Sunday. Therefore, on the basis of this, as a consequence of this, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acceptance with God. Friends, this is the greatest, this is the ultimate blessing that any person on earth could ever have. Peace with God. Acceptance with Almighty God through what Christ has done for us. This is the most needful, the most vital, the most crucial blessing any human being can have. Peace with God. I mean, you can be a billionaire, but if you don't have peace with God, you're a spiritual pauper and you're bound for hell. Now, sometimes I think I'd like to be a billionaire, but if I had to choose between the two, being a billionaire on earth and not having peace with God, I would rather be just the ordinary person that I am and have peace with Almighty God. There is surely no greater blessing in all the world than to be able to make your peace with God Himself. I'd rather have peace with God. I'd rather know the blessing of a relationship with God in which my soul is at rest in Almighty God, for time and for eternity, and then to have all the riches this world could offer. We've learned that peace with God is not something you can earn. It's not something that you can deserve. It's not something that you can buy. It's the result of God transferring our debt of sin from our account and crediting to our account the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we repent of our sin and place our trust in Jesus as our sin-bearer, substitute, and Lord, and surrender our lives to Christ in faith, not only does God declare us not guilty and imputes to us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus, but the war is over. The arms of rebellion are laid down. God's terms of amnesty or accepted. I surrendered to Christ as a teenager in October 1958 in the City Hall in Bulawayo after seeing a Billy Graham film entitled Souls in Conflict. My soul was in conflict. As a teenager, I was floundering on a sea of question marks. But for the first time in my life, I went to sleep that night in my dormitory at high school, where I was a boarder, with peace in my heart. A peace that was so indescribable compared to what I had before, that there were evenings that I got out of my bed and wandered across the sports fields, just worshiping God and praising Him, that I now had peace, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. To think that I had been accepted by Almighty God into His family because Jesus, His Son, died on the cross in my place, paid my debt. I had the peace of knowing the conflict in my soul was over. It was over forever. Instead of having to face one day the penalty of my sins, the penalty had been paid. I was a free young man. Instead of being in rebellion against God, I had a relationship with God. I had moved from a state of alienation to a state of acceptance. From rebellion to reconciliation. The war was over. I had peace. I've known it for over 50 years. Paul has shown us in this letter that we're all born into a state of alienation. We have all sinned, Jew and Gentile, heathen, hypocrite, and Hebrew, and we continue to fall short of the glory of God. Not only do we passively miss the mark, the standard of God's 100% righteousness and absolute purity, but we live in active rebellion by pursuing our own way, doing our own thing. We do it by nature. It's not difficult to illustrate that today. Just look at the news or read it in the newspaper. The Ten Commandments today are not only scorned, they are ruled out of court. The name of Jesus is used as a substitute swear word in our society. There's a great battle going on in this world, a battle to get rid of God, to get rid of Christ, to get rid of Christianity, to get rid of the Bible. Man by nature is alienated from God. That manifests often in fighting against God and all that is moral, all that God is for. And man is under the wrath of God, as we read in our passage. The seeds of sin are in every single human heart. But the moment, by the grace of God, a person repents, the person has a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, comes to the cross, surrenders to the Lord, and is justified by faith. That person has peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The striving is over. The struggling is over. There's no longer rebellion and self-will. That person is justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. The battle is over. The alienation is something of the past. God gives me something that the world cannot give. God gives me something that the world cannot take away. It is His own peace that comes through Jesus Christ. How about you? Have you made your peace with God? Do you know the peace of God tonight? Accepted into His family with the perfect standing of a son, the same standing as Jesus, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Our status is one of peace. Peace that flows from being reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus. There's wonderful peace when we're reconciled to one another. But oh, what peace when we're reconciled to God. Not only do we have peace with God, we begin to enjoy the peace of God. A peace that, as Paul says to the Philippians, surpasses human understanding. It's the peace of Christ himself, who sent his disciples, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you." It's a peace the world cannot know. What a blessing. A blessing beyond telling. Peace with God. Acceptance into the family of God, where we rest in the great love of Jesus. But there's even more. Look at verse 2. We have access. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It's a wonderful thing to have acceptance, to know that the war is over, that God no longer looks upon us with disfavor and wrath, but we also have access to the very throne of grace, access into the very presence of God, access into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus, access with boldness, access with confidence, access with full assurance of faith, because we come through the merits of Jesus' blood and righteousness. Some years ago, Elaine and I were with a group of pastors and wives, and it was a rainy, miserable day in London, and we set out on the bus to go to Windsor Castle. And we got there, and the weather was foul. And we reached the gate where the little beef eater, is that what you call them, has his little hut there. And he landed, nipped inside there. And it was nice and warm in this little beef eater's hut. And she said, "Would you mind if I stay here while the others have a look at the castle?" And he said, "Madam, you're very welcome." She waved us goodbye, thinking we were just going to walk around the outside and see the castle from the outside. Man, we had access. We were taken in. For a couple of hours, we toured that magnificent castle. Elaine was outside all the time, and she could have had access. But so much greater, when we repent and place our trust in Jesus, we have access to God with boldness and confidence. Every moment of every day, we can come to his throne of grace, and there we find his forgiveness. There we find his acceptance. There we find his peace. There we find that God gives us grace and help in our time of need. When you place your hand in the hand of Jesus, he gives you access into the Father's presence. More than that, you're clothed in his righteousness. If I may say reverently, his dad becomes your dad, your Abba Father, and you have access into the presence of this one who is Abba, dear, dear Father. You stand in the free, unmerited favor of God, welcomed into his presence. You can bring him every heartache. You can bring him every need. You can lay every burden down at his feet. You can cast every care upon him. He invites you to do that because he cares for you. Well, it's one thing to know the blessing of acceptance. What about the indescribable privilege of access to the Father's throne? And yet there's more. Look at verse 2. There's assurance. Look at the rest of the verse. "And we rejoice," says the apostle. "We glory. We exult. We celebrate in the hope of the glory of God." One of our English words that, like many others, has undergone a subtle change from its original intent is this word hope. Today, when we use the English word hope, it often conveys the element of doubt. We say, "Well, I hope so." The sense of the original Greek word in this context is not a vague "hope so." It's an absolute certainty. Those who are justified by faith in Jesus have the assurance of salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. They have already passed from death to life. They already rejoice in the fact that one day we will see and fully enjoy the glory of God. We who are justified by faith in Jesus project ourselves into the future with absolute certainty. We say to the Apostle Peter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose mercy we've been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being kept by the power of God through faith, ready for that salvation to be revealed when Jesus comes again." A foretaste, the assurance, the guarantee of the fullness of God. It makes us rejoice in the Lord now over what is to come then. We can sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of the Spirit." You know the hymn better than I do. Just so, you cannot read Paul's letters seriously without being struck time and again by the notes of unrestrained rejoicing and exultation that flow so freely from the assurance that justification brings. He says we exult in hope of the glory of God. We glory in tribulations. If God be for us, who can be against us? By faith, we have acceptance, we have access, we have blessed assurance. But there's more, much more. Look at verse 3. We have what I've called achievement. Tell me this apostle isn't getting more and more excited when he says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character hope." He does a full circle, begins with hope and ends with hope. What's he saying here? He is saying, when you are declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus, God is at work in everything for your good. He'll use every experience you go through in your life, good and bad, to make you more and more like Jesus. You'll be able to rejoice in what you suffer for being a Christian, and God will give you the grace of perseverance, and that will result in the development of a Christ-like character, and the process of this development in Christian character and maturity will increase the measure of your assurance concerning all that God has planned for you. Do you follow his logic? Isn't it wonderful? He's saying you will have a growing capacity to appreciate and look forward to all the Lord is still going to do. No matter what you have to go through, it's all going to benefit you in time and in eternity. In other words, through justification by faith in Jesus, we're brought into a relationship with God where we'll achieve a greater and greater degree of maturity. What the Bible calls sanctification, completeness, holiness, becoming more and more like Jesus in simple terms. You see, justification, as you know, is a legal term. It describes our standing before God as those who are acquitted, declared not guilty, perfect, immutable. It's guaranteed by the word of God and the work of Christ and the witness of the Holy Spirit. Your standing before God is perfect because it's the perfect standing of Jesus Christ himself that has been credited to your account. Sanctification is a Bible word that relates to our state. Our state is still imperfect. Our state before God is still changeable. And in large measure, it's dependence upon our obedience to the Lord and our trust. The object of the process of sanctification is that we become progressively and increasingly more and more like Jesus. So justification, Paul is saying, sets us up for achievement. God positions us through justification in a standing before God that will alter our state before God as we grow to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So justification results in the blessing of achievement. It puts us in a relationship with God where even suffering, persecution, opposition, testing times will all be used by God to enable us to advance to maturity in Jesus. Man, just tear a page out of Paul's diary and see how this thing works. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10. He says, we're handicapped on all sides, but we're never frustrated. We're puzzled, but we're never in despair. We're persecuted, but we never stand alone. We're knocked down, but we're never knocked out. We face death every day, but experience the power of Jesus' life. Isn't that great? That's the result, that's the fruit of being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus. Acceptance, access, assurance, achievement, and finally I've called it anointing. I mean, got to have all these A's together. So number five, anointing. Don't know if you've ever noticed this, but here we have the first mention of love and the first formal mention of the Holy Spirit in Paul's letter to the Romans. Jesus brings us into a relationship with God where we receive anointing. The same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus at his baptism in water is freely bestowed upon the repentant sinner who believes in Jesus. Verse 5. God has poured out. The Greek word is a word of abundance, of overflow. What wonderful rains God has given us in these days. I have four tanks alongside my townhouse. They're all overflowing. God comes to us as those who have been justified by faith in Jesus, and he, as it were, pours his Holy Spirit into our being. The word is like flash flooded into your being through the Holy Spirit who is given to you. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. His Holy Spirit is the down payment who guarantees our eternal salvation. His Holy Spirit enables us to cry, Abba, dear Father. His Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. His Holy Spirit counsels us, comforts us, teaches us, guides us, convicts us and corrects us, gifts us and empowers us, and he makes us more and more like Jesus. When Paul says the love of God is flash flooded into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, he means all the characteristics of the Spirit of God come with him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the goodness of God is imparted into the life of the believer who is justified by faith in the Lord Jesus. Now it's up to us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when Paul says the love of God is flash flooded into our hearts, we can only praise God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that when God justifies the sinner who believes in Jesus, he gives him blessings untold. I mean, how could you ever put a value to acceptance with God? How could you ever put a value to access into the presence of Almighty God? How could you ever put a value on the assurance of everlasting life with God and the achievement of becoming more and more like Jesus? How could you ever put a value on the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, who is flash flooded into our lives through the great love of God? And so, are you walking in the fullness of your inheritance? My brother, my sister, these five blessings that I've highlighted in these five verses are the birthright of every single believer in Jesus. Or do you need tonight to make some major adjustments to bring your state before God in line with your standing before God? Do you know the blessing of peace with God? Do you know the blessing daily of access to the throne room of God? Do you know the blessing of certainty concerning your eternal destiny? Do you know the blessing of being changed from one degree of glory to another into the image and likeness of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, achieving more and more degree of maturity and completeness and fullness in Jesus? Do you know the blessing of the anointing of God, the love of God flash flooded into your life through the Holy Spirit? All these blessings are the birthright of every person who will sincerely turn to God in true repentance and believe in the Lord Jesus. Truly, we are blessed beyond measure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. We've only just kind of scratched the surface of the richness, the fullness, the blessing of the truths that have come to us in these few verses. But how we praise you that you have blessed us beyond measure, beyond telling. And we pray that you'd help us day by day as followers of Jesus to move more and more towards maturity, and grant, Heavenly Father, that Christ may be formed in us and that his life may be revealed in us and through us in the week that lies ahead. We pray, Heavenly Father, that equipped and enabled by the Holy Spirit, we may not only represent Jesus, but be able to reproduce his life and character and continue the work that he has left us to do. To your eternal glory we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.